This episode of Country Squire Radio is brought to you by Missouri Meerschaum. We thank them for supporting this show, and we thank you for supporting them.
You're listening to Country Squire Radio.
Welcome to Country Squire Radio. I'm Bo.
And I'm John David.
JD! Man!
Hey! Hey, Bo, how you doing, man?
Merry Christmas, brother!
Merry Christmas to you, dude. Man, it is always fun to connect with you this time of year. And gosh, yeah, I know it's a special week, right? It's the eve before Christmas Eve. And,
it's the holiday season. Yes, sir, man. And of course, you know, go ahead.
Yeah, I've just been singing that song under my breath here around the shop. Like, for some reason, that is the song that stuck in my head this year. You know, some years it's what's the creepy one people get all bent out of shape about?
Bring us some
figgy pudding.
Oh, that right. One. Yeah.
Yeah, but this year that's the one. And I don't know. I think folks around the old tobacco bar are getting tired of it.
Okay. All right. Fair enough, man. No, look, this is the holiday season. We got a special episode for you guys. And of course, there's no way to make an episode of Country Squire Radio more special than by bringing on this individual. He is the man who saved Christmas episode by being willing to record had my power stayed out. But no, we're doing this. Ladies and gentlemen, back at Country Squire Radio, Brian Levine. Round of applause, hoorays all around.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I think it's very appropriate that you faithful Christian people invite a little Jewish boy to come over for Christmas.
No, man, we got to have the Hanukkah contingency here. This is good.
Yeah.
That's right, man. That's right. Happy Hanukkah, Brian.
Yeah, thank you. Or as we say, hoi, 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 oi, vei.
Well, welcome to the show, man. It's always a blast when you're here. Of course, we've got a very special episode this week. But first, we've got a little bit of house cleaning and some big announcements going on. First things first, a Lunt to Remember. Now, we've been talking about this for the last several episodes. And of course, this is happening on March 28th in Jackson, Mississippi. It's going to be a major event. And this major event just got more major. Joining the Lunt to Remember. That's right. The one, the only, me. I mean, no, it's a big announcement. That means we're doing a live show. We're doing a live show,
man.
From Squire.
Live show from the Country Squire at the Lunt to Remember, March 28th, here in Jackson, Mississippi, 2020. And guess what? This is in conjunction with the Country Squire Tobacconist's 50th anniversary. And so if you haven't made your trip to the Country Squire for your pipe pilgrimage, man, we would just be so honored to have you. And this would be a perfect weekend to do it. There's going to be live music. We'll have obviously the Lunting event and good food and strong drink and all that stuff, but also pipe smokers from around the country coming to join us. We just got word that our friends at Missouri Meerschaum will be in attendance there, and they, Phil and the crew, are so excited about coming down to Jackson. Also got Max Stoke will be coming in from Scandinavian Tobacco Group, and man, it's just going to be a great, sweet time, man. Just a lot of fellowship with lunters and pipe enthusiasts from all around, and man, we're gonna have a blast. So the Flores Bluff State Park, March 28th, 2020. And if you are interested in camping, there is camping there on site or at nearby Roosevelt State Park. You can find all the details at lunting.org. And there's also a Facebook group that we would love for you to RSVP to. But we are asking for you to RSVP on the website, lunting.org. Go there. It's a free event. You can come for free, but we will be selling a lot of raffle items and some other promotional items as well. And the proceeds of all that is going to the Alzheimer's Foundation, which is, something that is near and dear to Scott Beidler, who quarterbacks the International Lunting Society, near and dear to his heart. So just excited about that, man. Going to be a lot of fun and some good fellowship. So come on down, man, if you're free this March. And we'd love to have you here in sleepy Jackson, Mississippi.
That's good, man. Hey,
yeah, if you're over the age of 50, in conjunction with the celebration of the 50th anniversary of the Country Squire, Bo York is going to carry you on your back on his back during the entire month.
Oh man, no, not at all. That is absolutely not the case. Brian, if you would, when you're not talking, do you mind actually muting your mic? Just because I'm getting a little bit of feedback on your end. Nothing major, but if you wouldn't mind.
Nope, not at all.
Thanks. Appreciate it, brother. Well, man, you know, carrying notwithstanding, this is the season of giving. And man, you know, on a somber note, we do have something to kind of put out there in terms of a giving opportunity, courtesy our friends up north, man. You want to share about what Cody's doing?
Man, that's right. Cody DeWitt, our dear friend up in Michigan, he is putting together a just a really awesome fundraiser that is very indicative of the spirit of the pipe community, man. But our friend, longtime listener and friend up in that neck of the woods, Rob E., who is a pipe carver, Kalamazoo, Michigan. If you've been to Chicago or Columbus, you're probably seen some of his work, familiar with some of his work. And Rob E., just a very kind person. And man, it had the terrible news of being diagnosed with mantle cell lymphoma. And it's very serious, very aggressive. And man, in true to form, obviously our pipe community is with him. Our prayers and thoughts are with him and his family at this time. But I mean, we are trying to put that into action as well. And so our good friend Cody, he is putting this awesome event together. It is going to be on February 20th, 2020, which is International Pipe Smoking Day, of course. And it is a Texas Hold'em style tournament, which is just going to be a lot of fun. There it is, the Smoke 'em If You Got 'em fundraiser night, and all proceeds from this are going to go to Rob E. of Rob E. Pipes. So man, just really exciting. Again, February 20th, 6 p.m. at Indian River Tobacco Traders up there, and it's just a great thing. So if you're able, if you're in that neck of the woods, it is a $50 buy-in. They'd love to have you. What's exciting about this, particularly for our listeners who are literally worldwide, a lot of folks, they're like, man, I'd love to be there, but that's not something that I can do. But man, how can you sitting in Hackensack, New Jersey, contribute to this awesome event and support Robbie and what the guys are trying to do up there. And man, you can actually, they're going to raffle off some awesome, and I mean awesome, giveaway things that are being donated. There are a lot of folks participating in this event for Robbie. We've got Morgan Pipes, Joe Hinkle, Paul's Pipes, Beard Corps, DR France Pipes. The Country Squire obviously will be chipping in some stuff. Indian River Tobacco Traders, Furniture City Pipe Society. There are a host of people donating some really awesome things for this event. And you can buy raffle tickets wherever you were at in the world and actually get in on the raffle. So contact Cody DeWint. It's CODY. DEWINDT at gmail.com. Just his name, Cody DeWint at gmail.com. And you can actually buy raffle tickets through PayPal. They're $1 a piece. You can buy one, you can buy 100, you can buy 500, however many you like. And that'll give you a good opportunity to snag some really good stuff. And obviously, fun, exciting things to, benefit your pipe smoking hobby and enthusiasm. But more important than anything, an opportunity to support just a world-class pipe carver and man. And so anyway, Bo and Brian, get the word out about that. Again, Smoke 'em If You Got 'em fundraiser night. All proceeds go to Rob E. of Robbie Pipes. And again, if you'd like to, buy some raffle tickets, email Cody DeWint. You can do that at Cody DeWint. That's DEWINDT at gmail.com.
That's good. It's a great community that's up there. And, that's one thing that we've seen in this community as a whole, but in the sad moments of struggle and tragedy, man, there's a lot of support. And if you can do that, if you can kind of add to that, all the better. Man, we do have a fun show planned this week. We also have a fun show planned next week as well. Just kind of tee this up. Next week, we've got our best of 2019. So yeah. Just as a reminder to all those in attendance, be sure this is a black tie event. It is not black tie option. Tuxes, champagne, all that kind of good stuff. Be there. Brian Levine, you were a winner actually last year, as I recall.
Yeah, and I'm still wearing my black tie from that.
That's good. Yeah, there wasn't time for your acceptance speech, but who knows, man? Maybe this year, if you win. I mean, we don't know. We don't know yet.
Never can tell.
No, not at all. Look, this is but we do have a fun episode this year. So we're doing our holiday special. We got none other than Brian Levine here. And you know, not only is it the Hanukkah season, it's the Christmas season, it's the season of giving. This to me, and I mean, like, this might just be me, but this is also the season of Charles Dickens, right? I mean, like, who among us did not grow up with at least like 20 versions of A Christmas Carol playing on television? Anybody? Anybody?
And have you seen Mickey's Christmas Carol?
It's great. Now that it's on Disney Plus, I can see it, you know, because before you had to fight to find that thing, but it's on Disney Plus now.
Yeah.
I mean, for me though, it's all about Muppet Christmas Carol.
I do like the Muppet Christmas Carol a little bit better.
I mean, it's the quintessential one. But what about John David? Did y'all ever watch the Christmas Carol growing up?
You know, we did. I remember reading it, obviously, as a young kid, and then, going to see it even in local community theaters. I was reminded of that. Man, it's so cool. Our friend Nathan Davis, who does Grey Woody Pipes, his daughter just had a role as Tiny Tim, which was really cool. and just seeing some of these photos on online of folks, going through that. And with their little kids, it reminded me of those times when I was a child and the magic of that, right? I mean, it kind of, the spirit of that, it feeds into the Christmas season being larger than life, right? Particularly for those little ones.
Well, and you think about the song, it's the most wonderful time of the year, and it always has that line, there'll be scary ghost stories, which is not necessarily something you attribute to the holiday season, except when it comes to Dickens' A Christmas Carol, because of course you've got the classic, Marley, but then you also have the ghosts of Christmas past, present, and future. So in the spirit of Charles Dickens, we are actually, this episode, taking a look into the past, into the present, into the future of the Pipe World community and our own personal pipe journeys as we look at pipes of the past, the pipes of Christmas past, the pipes of Christmas present, and the pipes of Christmas future. And if you want to say that I'm reaching for content, you can just keep those emails back. Because no, this is a holiday one. Come on. This makes total sense.
Man, no, it's great. It is a good time of year to, kind of reflect on our journey, particularly as we get into the new year as well, right? So you're thinking about, how did this year go? What are some things that are memorable about this year? We talked about our best of episode coming up next week. But then you also start to think about down the road, right? Like what's around the corner? What I've been thinking in my mind, as many life changes as I've had personally going on over the past couple of years. Like, what do I want my next year to look like? And professionally, personally, in relationships, marriage, parenting now, finances. But, all these things go with our kind of our pipe story as well, right? Our pipe journey and kind of where has it been? Where is it now? And where is it going to? Both our own preferences and customs, but then also where the industry is going. Where is the pipe smoking culture and community going? And those are fun things to think about.
All right, gentlemen. So close your eyes. Just think it is Christmas Eve night, and you've fallen asleep, and it's just past midnight, and actually it's now the morning of Christmas, and the clock is striking one. The bell is chiming. And all of a sudden, the light flashes, and before you is the ghost of Pipes Past, who is sitting there smoking a pipe and takes you by the hand, flying you through the window into your past for a pipe memory of the past. Brian, as our guest, why don't you start us off with your pipe of the past story or artifact or otherwise?
I'm sorry, I was so relaxed there. I think I was seeing sugar plums dancing in my head. So when you proposed this idea, which I don't think is a stretch, I think it's a perfectly fine idea and one I never came up with. So therefore it really isn't that much of a stretch. It all comes for me. I go, you got to go way back, because I really didn't, the first pipe that I actually smoked, and I wish I still had it, was a corncob pipe that I bought on Main Street at Walt Disney World, and I bought a pack of Middleton's Apple tobacco and was too embarrassed to smoke it anywhere but in the room, and didn't know what I was doing.
Right.
And left the tobacco and the pipe in the trash can in the room because I thought, well, this was a painful waste of money. But at the same time.
So wait a sec. Just to be clear, you purchased the pipe and the tobacco.
Yeah.
You didn't enjoy the experience. You were ashamed, and you threw it away and then left.
I was ashamed first to smoke it in public. Yeah, I wasn't ashamed to smoke a cigarette in public, but I bought a corncob pipe, most likely a Missouri Meerschaum, because that's all Disney World would have carried.
Of sure. course, only the best.
And didn't know what I was doing and didn't really enjoy it and thought, well, you know, I'm 19 or 20 or whatever I was that week. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm gonna put the, you know, all right, well, this was a, this was an experiment that went awry. But at the same time of pipes of the past, I have sitting here my two pipes from my great grandfather, who was a lifelong pipe smoker. I mean, he died in 1986 at the age of 94, got thrown out of his house at age 14 because his father, he went out and started working at 12, 13. And one day with one of his paychecks, he bought a pipe and some tobacco and came home, and father said, look, you're 14 years old. You can buy a pipe and tobacco. You're a man. Get out.
Nice.
You know, and so I have a couple of his pipes. I would, you know, and I would really, I still have those. I would really have wished that maybe by, I think I was 19 when he died. I wish I would have had a chance to actually sit and smoke a pipe with him.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. You know, for me, you know, thinking about kind of the origins of me as a pipe smoker actually came from the first cigar I actually had, which was with some friends in college. Like, there was a bunch of guys that hung out next to the dorm, and they would get like them some Swisher Sweets and smoke them right outside the dorm. And so I came in and tried one, and I was like, yeah, this is, I could get into this. I like this. Which brought me to a men's group that met in college at a local, one of the guys from the local church's house. And we would get there and, we would all, you know, we were supposed to be doing a Bible study, but we were all just sitting back smoking cigars. But there was somebody there who was smoking a pipe, and I cannot remember what the style was or what the shape was or anything. I just remember, man, that's cool. That is cool. And I was terrified by the prospect. But my first pipe itself was, I mean, it was a straight billiard pipe that I got from a shop that I do not believe is in operation anymore in Memphis, Tennessee. And I've talked before about how that experience wasn't great. But I, unlike Brian, I actually did keep that pipe. I did throw away the pipe tobacco in kind of this, well, this was a waste of time type situation. But I did hang on to the pipe. For one thing, it was a little more expensive than I had anticipated at the time, which was also part of kind of the negative first experience with that pipe. Because I almost felt like I was being swindled to some extent. Like, you know, they kind of push all this stuff on you at this particular shop. And, you know, I needed to be brought up a little bit more gently, so to speak. But anyway, so I hung on to the pipe, and I kind of used it for, you know, from photo shoots. I actually did a photography class that year, that sort of thing. And I had it. And later on, I went back again. I got a different pipe. I started smoking it while I was learning to paint, and it was a much smaller bowl, a very, very small bowl. It was a church warden, straight church warden with a tiny bowl. And I enjoyed it. And I used that to kind of practice with the kind of the goal of getting back to that first pipe. And then once I was able to smoke that first pipe, I knew I was ready to go. So in terms of, like, you know, the pipes of the past, like that straight billiard pipe holds such a precious memory to me. And was kind of, you know, not only was it the first, it also kind of became a goal. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like I started here and I built up to it. I started here and then had to build up to it. You know what I mean? So it has a place of prominence in my cellar. And, you know, I've thought in the past about possibly getting it framed and shadow boxed up on the wall. But at the same time, I'm not really ready to put it out to pasture yet. You know what I mean? It still smokes beautifully.
Yeah. Yeah.
I could picture you just having it framed with, you know, maybe a little dagger underneath it too.
Oh no! Look, there's actually a framing store nearby, and I for Christmas this year, actually, I got my wife. We have this chessboard. We bought, like, when we were both broken in Memphis. We would do what we called change dates, and we would collect up quarters and just change. And then when we had enough kind of saved up in this little jar, we would go out and buy each other coffee, and we would bring this chessboard and play chess. And we would always write down in the square the various places that we played chess. And we finally finished this board about 6 years ago. We didn't fill it up as much as we used to before that. Something happens. Maybe two things happened. Sucked up a lot of time, energy, and money. Don't know what those could be. Yeah. but no, we finished it. We started at Memphis, Tennessee, and finished it here in Houston, Texas. And so I got that. I took that to a framing shop and got it framed for a Christmas gift. But while I was there, they had all of these shadow boxes, man. They had, like, you know, pool cues and everything else. And the first thing I thought of was that pipe. I was like, man, if ever I go that route, then this is exactly what I'm doing. I'm putting it up in a shadow box and just putting it in a place of prominence. But again, I'm not ready to put it out to pasture yet. It's a good smoking pipe.
So you all were so broke back then, you might have been walking in Memphis?
Oh, yes. Yeah, we were definitely walking in Memphis. Absolutely.
All right, before y'all sing anymore or make any other lame comments, it's my turn.
Yes, sir.
Man, thinking about pipes of Christmas past, right, and pipes of the past in general, a lot of things kind of came to my mind, you know, as I was, you know, kind of relaxing, thinking about this episode. The first pipe I ever had, and of course I've told this story before, one of my first jobs actually was at Walgreens, stocking the shelves at our local, you know, drugstore. And I remember, you know, going up and down the aisle, sticking my nose in those huge bags of cheap, you know, Cavendish that just has that delicious smell on the aisle, probably makes your tongue taste like sandpaper, but, you know, perfect for the hamster cage, but boy, does it smell good in the bag, right? And, you know, it was one of those things where I was like, man, I've got to do this. And, you know, of course, my friends at the time taking up cigarettes and dipping, living in the country and things like that, a lot of chewing tobacco. And yeah, man, I was just going to be the elitist, you know, patrician that was going to, you know, do one better and stand out in the crowd. Probably the complete opposite of what Brian wanted to do. He was ashamed, you know, threw his pipe in the trash because he didn't want to be seen with it in public. And boy, golly, I wanted people to know that I was better than them. So I smoked a pipe and I did it proudly.
Yes, sir.
That first pipe was a Dr. Grapebow that I got there at the Walgreens. And man, you know, unfortunately, I don't have that pipe anymore. And I, you know, my parents are actually in the process of looking for a house here in Jackson. When I was in college, they moved to Alabama for dad's job, and they're currently looking for a home back here. You know, it's funny when you have a grandkid, when you have your first child, it kind of gives these folks incentive to maybe move a little closer to you for some strange reason. I don't know, but coming back this way, and you know, I'm hoping there's that hope that as they dig through a lot of their stuff and you know, kind of, you know, culling some things, getting rid of this and that, that maybe that old Dr. Grabo will turn up. I'm kind of hopeful of that. I'm maybe at a, you know, 40% that might be a possibility there, but I'd love for it to turn up. Had several pipes, you know, basket pipes through the years after that. But the first pipe after that Graybow that was particularly memorable for me was a Savinelli Trevi that I bought actually at the Country Squire, but before I worked at the Country Squire. This is, gosh, it had to be, I don't know, 15 years ago, something like that. And Savinelli Trevi Smooth 606 KS, the nice kind of sleek, generous size bent billiard, you know, with that nice kind of brown ruby, you know, trim to it, and with the nice little, you know, kind of silverish band. And man, just a beautiful pipe. And I saved up for it. It was one of those things that I saved for, and I was, you know, I purchased on my own, but you know, probably shouldn't have. It was one of those things where it was kind of a stretch, probably didn't need to be spending money on something like that. But boy, glad I did. And still, to this day, smoke that pipe. It's, if you come to the Country Squire, next to the tobacco bar, is a sole, rack of pipes kind of sitting off to themselves over to the right. And that's all my personal pipes are stuck on there, and or some of them anyway. And that Savinelli Trevi is still up there. It's still one of my favorite aromatic pipes. So man, you know, just thinking about those past experiences, how excited I was to get that first really nice pipe, you know, how excited I was to pick just the perfect tobacco to load up into it and to, you know, grace the bowl with that. That was a fun time. It really was. You know, other things too that come to my mind, you know, during this time of the year, just how great it was. I started working at the Country Squire actually in Christmas time. It was December of, let's see, it would have been 2011, December of 2011. Mm. And you know, it was just in the middle of the holiday season, folks were coming in asking questions, and I was not as, you know, knowledgeable as I am today by God's grace. And so, you know, had just, you know, it did the best I could to help folks shop and learn. And Mrs. Reeves, Gwen Reeves, that of course founded the shop, kind of taught me, you know, how to handle some of those questions on my feet. And it was fun, you know. And now many years later, going through these Christmas seasons, retailer, and now owning the shop, it's man, it's crazy, and it's a different perspective, but it's something I wouldn't trade for the world.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, let me jump in here before we get too far ahead into all this, you know, present and future stuff, because yeah, last year we did the mashup show, and this year there's two separate shows. So my show came out, you know, yesterday or on Tuesday, and so everybody gets two complete shows instead of mashing it up into one. But you know, John David, your Christmas present is you know, the pipes of Christmas present, I feel a little responsible for, because last year I asked you to, you know, to go through traditions of, you know, me having older kids, Bo having kids that are of that wonderful age where Christmas morning is a magical thing. And,
oh, yeah.
And John David, you having no kids. And then here comes the middle of September, right about 9 months later.
So
Lump of Coal comes out. Right?
Literally a lump of coal for Christmas.
Lump of coal. Yeah, I did.
I'd like to just, you know, warn Mrs. John David that, you know, maybe Hunk of Coal, the next version, is going to be September. But anyway, yeah. So I just wanted to put that all out there and, you know, make sure.
That's good.
I feel like maybe I was part of the inspiration for it. You know, you felt left out of the club or something, or, you know, whatever.
Wow.
There is something to be said for the timeliness of that, you know, and you know, maybe over a pipe and a stiff drink sometime, you and I can you know, talk more about the epic coincidence of that and last Christmas time and the 9 months later and now my beautiful daughter. You know, that would that probably has its own sidebar conversation written all over it. But
wow. I'm just saying she's beautiful, so I had nothing to do with it. But you know,
that's a fact.
Didn't have much to do with that either.
But. Thank goodness she looks like her mama.
The Brian Levine inspiration works every time.
Yes, that's usually right. I inspire people to go the other way. But
All right. So we've talked about the past. So we've now the ghost of pipes past has left us. We have all now headed back to our beds. The lights have dimmed. We are now back asleep. We've gone back into that restless sleep. We've just experienced all these wonderful memories and some tragic memories of our past, and then. The clock strikes two, the bells ring, the chimes ring, and then suddenly into the room, we smell this amazing aroma of various pipe tobaccos of the present. We the lights go on, and here before us is a very large, larger-than-life figure smoking a pipe and bringing us, taking us by the hand, breaking us out the door into the pipes of Christmas present. John David, why don't you start us this time? We'll go in reverse order.
Yes. Yeah. Pipes of Christmas present. And, man, of course, you know, for many years now, it seems like my favorite, pipe shape, you know, over the past, I don't know, as long as we've been doing the show, certainly after I started working at the Country Squire, but, you know, has been the straight billiard, kind of a small to medium sized bowl. That's my jam. And that's just really where, you know, I've kind of taken to, you know, those Savinelli petites, of course, the Bing shape with just a nice kind of small to medium sized bowl, a straightish pipe, a nice svelte low Low profile pipe, something that has a lot of elegance to it. That's kind of where I live, right? And that seems to be what, probably 70% of my current pipe collection looks like. You know, it's like, man, does this guy have any variety in his heart? You know, looking at his pipe collection, it's why does he keep buying the same thing? And it's true, man. I tend to gravitate towards that. And so, it's one of those things. I have a lot of difficulty, pulling the trigger on something that is not a straight pipe, and certainly with kind of that medium to maybe medium small size bowl. I have, and we can kind of get into this in the next part of our segment here, but I have, it seems to be of late, been growing into these larger size bowls. And so I don't know, what the genesis of that is, but certainly of the near present, that's kind of where I live. You know, I like something that is kind of a nice smoke break pipe. It, gives me the ability to smoke it while I'm working and not have to fill it too full of tobacco, because I know, working in retail, you're going to be back and forth, always picking up your pipe, putting down your pipe, picking it back up. And, for me, it just seems to work, something that's light and has that frame. So, those Virginia tobaccos too, that's kind of where my heart is, right? It's those Virginia Periques. That's something with a lot of natural complexity and sweetness, but from the kind of the natural flavor of the leaf, and just those delicate flavors that are very nuanced and complementary of each other. It really inspires the smoker to slow down and work hard to pick out those tasting notes and things like that. So I'd say that's where I live. That's kind of my pipe and pipe smoking present.
That's good. All right. So my pipe smoking present, I've got two kind of key moments this year that really kind of, it's been a very eventful year through moving and getting acclimated to new schools and just new status in life and everything. It's been interesting. But from a pipe smoking standpoint, there's two moments that kind of stood out, and they're very recent. I've talked about it on the show already, but I just feel like I need to mention it again, because I have thought back about this night so many times. And that is around Thanksgiving, my brothers and my sister, we my parents had left. They actually took our kids to Oxford, which is north of Jackson. To go to Oxford as when Jacksonians reach a certain age, they feel this call to return back to the spawning grounds that is Oxford, Mississippi.
So I'll put a caveat on that. Some Jacksonians, right?
Some Jacksonians. Hashtag not all Jacksonians. Right. Yeah, that's right. Others feel a different pull to Starkville. It's an interesting interesting situation there, but no. So my parents took the kids over to Oxford, and which is of course beautiful year round, and so they left me and my siblings and our spouses back at the old home. And so we all kind of went to Cathead Vodka to the local brewery. We just kind of checked out a bunch of different places, but then we came back home, and I had brought with me just a bunch of corncob pipes, specifically to enjoy with my siblings and my siblings-in-law. And so me and my brothers and my brother-in-law were all out on the back porch, and each got to choose kind of a Missouri Meerschaum pipe, and we sat back and busted out. I'm pretty sure it was either Frog on a Log or it was Cellar. That kind of, you only smoke it if it's a special occasion right now. And I could think of a better special occasion than all of us being together. and it was just a very special moment, that I'll never forget. So there's that. The other thing that happened recently was after I returned, to Houston, we had in the last couple of weeks even put out an episode of Country Squire Radio, where we were celebrating Brian Levine's favorite fictional creatures of all time, the Ewoks.
Yes.
Yeah. And an episode that was directly, I'll go ahead and say it, directly inspired by none other than Brian Levine.
and the unknowing of the young Mr. York.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah. All right, fair point. I will take all the licks that is required there. But no, so we did this fun episode where we took a look because of not just Brian, but we had a bunch of people write in and point out that Ewoks were pipe smokers in Star Wars. And so we thought, you know what, let's do kind of a Heroes of the Bowl-esque episode about the Ewoks. And we had a ball. It was a lot of fun. We ended up, I'll even go this far. We started out that episode not knowing where it would take us. And I think we were kind of surprised at where it took us because it was pretty substantial. I mean, it was a good episode.
Yub, yub.
Yeah, I'm waiting for that affirmation. Don't hold your breath. Anyway, so we got, and it was one of these episodes that really resonated with people in either a very positive or negative light. And we got emails that were just really loved it and had some great thoughts on it and just kind of, you know, adding some other commentary along into it. And then we got some emails that really did not like that episode at all. And, you know, I think I even mentioned, I think on the show, but I mean, like, I don't think Ewoks had ever been that controversial since Ewoks first appeared, in which case they were that controversial. But
that was more controversial than Jar Jar Binks.
I know. That's the thing, right? I'm glad we didn't do that Binks episode that we were planning on doing. That would have been rough. But anyway, the substantial divide of feedback that we got, I've never seen anything we do more beautifully kind of showcase two corners of the pipe community. And I don't look at like the pushback as negative per se. I look at it from the standpoint of like, there's just different motivations as to why someone would go to a pipe podcast. And you know, and John David and I have talked about this a lot in terms of kind of pipe nerd and pipe geek and what that looks like. And so I was sitting here in Houston, Texas by myself, and I'm processing some of these emails. And at the exact same time, I'm trying to clean out my cellar. And what do I find? I find an unopened tin of Throgmorton I didn't know I had. It was like a pipe-smoking Christmas miracle. You know what I mean? Like, it was awesome. And so
it showed up at just the right time to
just the right time. Well, so and what I did, man, is I got this out, and I thought, you know what? I'm not going to open this right now, but I'm going to use this as an excuse to smoke more of my current opened pipe tobacco. You know what I mean? Because it's like, found Throgmorton is essentially a special occasion in and of itself. So, you know, let's justify another bowl here. And so I took some time. I went out back. I busted out the phone. I thought, you know what? I'm going to do a live video. We'll go on Country Squire's YouTube channel, which has been, you know, desperate for content. I know a lot of people have missed us there. And I'm just going to process some emotions while smoking some Throgmorton. And, you know, had a nice little live audience that joined in, and some people caught it after the fact, and like really, really good stuff. I've never really considered us, even back when we were pretty regular on doing the YouTube live, but I've always kind of seen us as more of like cousins to the YouTube pipe community, more so than necessarily like being on the YouTube pipe community, if that makes sense.
Oh, definitely. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but this was the first time that I really kind of felt like a little bit like part of that, you know, just kind of sitting there smoking, staring at the, you know, the selfie screen and everything, sharing some thoughts and just getting some really good feedback from that and just some really good conversation that, sparked from that as well. And anyway, so these two different pipe smoking memories of the present, one being very, you know, tied to family and one being very tied to the community that we're part of. And again, just to reiterate, and I was very, I think, pretty clear on the YouTube video that I did of this, but I mean, like, I, you know, this was not like I'm mad that we got negative feedback. It's just more of, it's just interesting to me because it is like where the feedback that we came from both the I loved this episode and I hated this episode, like, the source of where that's coming from, we get and we see. And we are very conscious of that when we kind of try to create content. And, and we respect it. So anyway, all that to say, yeah, those are my two pipe-smoking memories of the present.
So, Bo, just to make you feel better, we did something early on in our show, and I won't mention what it is because we got such hatred for it that we actually re-edited the show and took it out.
Oh, wow.
I am the only one that, well, I, yeah.
You're the only man living. Everyone else was killed off.
No, I still have the original version. And oh, wow. At my funeral, they'll play it. but I am regularly reminded of what the present means. And I'm also regularly reminded of what these podcasts mean that we do. back in at the West Coast Pipe Show. I had, in fact, I had him on the show talking about it. One of the listeners was inspired by me to, and something that I said at the show on my show, to contact Pete Prevost and sit down with Pete and make 5 pipes, one for him and one for each one of his sons. So 5 pipes out of a single block of briar. And this Christmas, when he and his 4 sons get together, they're going to take those pipes out and all smoke them together. Then they're going to go back into the box set and wait for them to be smoked again.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow.
Yeah. I got an email this week from a guy that's been stationed in Afghanistan for the past year and has used that time to get to discover podcasts and get caught up on all the episodes all in 1 year. And he said that it's helped him, you know, maintain a sense of relaxation or reality in a strange place. And at the same time, he's also incorporated my leading expert on my own opinion into each one of his daily briefings with his staff. So that just takes it all and just says, you know, all right, be here. Rob E. was actually my guest on the show about 2 years ago. So if people want to learn more about him, go back and look at the show from November 2017. But Rob is also a Buddhist, and I've had several discussions about him about one of the things that Buddhism teaches you is to be in the, to be present and to clear out the noise and to you know, in the here and now. And what I'm going to do for Christmas is, you know, smoke a pipe. But I'm not going to let it distract me from being with the family and being in the present moment of the Christmas celebrations. And the other thing that I'm going to do, and I've started doing it, is, you know, we all have that tobacco that we're holding for a special occasion and don't want to, you know, we don't want to crack into it because we might want to save it for a more special occasion.
Yeah.
You know, for those of us that are pipe smokers, when we get a chance to sit down with our pipe for 45 minutes or an hour or whatever it is, I'm treating that as a special occasion. And I'm not waiting for that future stuff to happen. I'm making the present special and enjoying those tobaccos and doing some of what Rob talked about, which is, you know, enjoying the moment and being in that moment.
That's beautiful.
Boy, that is beautiful. I love that. And I think there is something to that. It's very connected with the spirit of pipe smoking, right? You know, the centeredness that comes from, you know, selecting the pipe and the tobacco that you feel like, and the even the tamper that you're going to use, and the liturgy of going through, you know, packing your pipe and lighting it, tamping it, lighting it again, and, you know, keeping it lit, the rhythmic nature of that. It forces you to be present, right? It does. And nowadays, you know, as we continue to, you know, move in this more connected world, you know, the opportunity for that special 45 minutes is less and less as time goes on. And so you're right, Brian. It's like, you know, don't wait for the special event. The special event is now.
and then there's the randomness of, you know, those magic bowls that just kind of smoke themselves and you just hold on for the ride.
Yeah.
You know, you really kind of never know where they are. And, you know, all these deep and, you know, intuitive thoughts of mine are proof that it takes manure to grow roses.
Man, that's beautiful. I mean, less beautiful with that specific analogy, but beautiful all the same.
Well, I'm saying, you know.
No, absolutely, man. And you're right. I mean, there's we should all be kind of walking away from the pipes of the present with that in mind, to continue that mindset of enjoying the pipes in the present. You know, I think about a moment that we shared, John David, in the present, technically in the past, but it was our present at the time. And that was our presence at the headquarters of our good friends at Missouri Meerschaum. That happened as part of our presence era, so to speak.
It sure did, man. It sure did. Man, it was so much fun going up there and hanging out with our family up there in Washington, Missouri. And a lot of folks, you know, are traveling this time of year. And if you are, you know, in that neck of the woods, give them a shout. They want to see you there and would be more than happy to host you. Just such an awesome family. And we are so grateful for them here at Christmas.
Absolutely, man. So if y'all got some Missouri Meerschaum pipes that you're enjoying this this season, be sure to smoke them, you know, with the holly, with the mistletoe. Well, don't smoke mistletoe. That's not good. But you know what I'm saying? Like get the decorations, get a good Christmas selfie with those Missouri Meerschaum pipes in there. We love to retweet those out to let the good folks at Missouri Meerschaum know we appreciate them for sponsoring the show. And man,
I don't think mistletoe. So is FDA approved.
No, so, it's straight up poison. Don't.
Yeah, we don't want you to smoke that.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. It's great.
All right. So the ghost of Christmas, or the ghost of pipe, the ghost of pipe present has left us in the snow. We don't know where this came from. I'm pretty sure none of us are around snow right now. Brian, do you have snow around you right now?
Oh no. That's why I live here.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. So we're all either bone dry or swampland or whatever's going on in Jackson right now. But the point is, we have been left out, and we are now processed. We've seen these pipe stories and these pipe memories of the past. We're reliving, and we're living in the present with the pipe stories and memories of the present. And now a shadowy figure comes towards us, and all we see aside from his dark robes is a pipe, a long churchwarden. Let's say it's a Nording, long churchwarden Nording pipe that's spewing out dark smoke that's coming around, and it's puffing around as it hazes everything around us so that we can only just barely see beyond the haze into the pipes of the future. So as we look through the haze, Brian, what do you see, man? Because, of course, you've got such a great vantage point on the industry, and so just for you personally, but also kind of where do you see yourself and the industry in a few years or a few decades?
Oh, boy, I got less of a future than you youngsters do, but let me tell you, first of all, I'm prepared for the future, all right? Don't worry about me. I got tobacco. And I now have, I'll say this out loud in public for the first time ever, I have 98,000 pipe cleaners that I own because I wanted to make sure that I had pipe cleaners to go with all the tobacco and everything.
Oh, my gosh. You've got a tobacco bunker. Is that what you're telling us? Yes. Your cellar has become a bunker?
I may have forgotten food and water, but I'm okay with tobacco.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
The tobacco will help the hunger, you know, go down. I mean, that it has that effect.
Yeah. So, and when Bo proposed this, I thought, you know, there's two things that came to my mind automatically. One is big picture, and one is very personal. The big picture is that pipe smoking will continue. It will continue to be. I'm you know, sad to say that it will, but happy at the same time that it will continue, and it will continue to be a more personal luxury event. You know, you know, John David, you won't have the old timer coming into the store that comes in and buys his pound of whatever in a bag every month. And then he goes back to the holler and, you know, smokes his pipe.
Yeah.
But you'll start to have, you know, you'll have more and more people that, hey, it's Thursday night. I'm hanging out with the guys. You know, it's pipe smoking time, or, you know, four or five times a week after, you know, the weather's nice. I'm going to go sit outside with my pipe and relax. And you're going to have a much more educated and enlightened customer base because they know exactly what they want. And they're going to continue it. They're just not going to, you know, they're not going to be my great grandfather smoking a can of Granger Rough Cut a week. They're going to be smoking two or three bowls a week, but probably enjoying those two or three bowls a week more than what my great grandfather enjoyed in his 12-ounce can each week.
Yeah.
That's where I see the future. Even here in North Carolina, tobacco country, you know, home of RJ Reynolds, home of the American Tobacco Company. My local mall put up signs that says no smoking within 50 feet of the building. Nobody can count that high around here, so it doesn't matter. So that's where it's going. For me personally, The pipe of the future that I am most looking forward to is the evening of July 17th of this upcoming year, because I'm going to smoke one of my Walt Disney World pipes inside of Epcot Center, and I'm going to do it without getting thrown out.
Wow. Is this, how do you plan like on doing that?
Members only lounge, or what happened here?
My son is getting married, and...
Okay.
As both of them are in management at Walt Disney World, they have arranged and got a discount for it, thankfully, for their reception to be after the park has closed at the American Pavilion at Epcot Center.
Wow. And
as the so I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the wedding where I will stand up next to him as his best man.
Oh man.
And then after the, you know, when we get to the reception and afterwards, after I've been told after the park is closed to public guests and that we are the only ones there, there'll be a couple of us there that are smokers. I'm going to stand outside the reception, you know, 10 feet away from the entrance of the building probably, and look out over Epcot and smoke my pipe for, you know, 20, 30 minutes, whatever I can sneak in while there's dancing and stuff going on.
Bro, you've got to get like a selfie with the ball in the background. Like that is epic. Like that needs to happen. Oh,
I'm thinking about, they told us flat out that, you know, no little drones or hovercrafts or whatever, but I'm thinking.
The Disney I'm drones. Like,
yeah, I'm thinking about getting a getting three cameras and getting me videoed from all directions for this thing. So,
that's amazing, man. Oh, yeah, that is congratulations.
Exciting. Yeah, but that's also that's the future for me is that pretty soon I'll start to hear the possible pitter patter of grandchildren, and I understand the draw to want to move close to them because even my wife who does not want to move to Orlando. Is now thinking, Orlando might not be a bad place to live.
Yeah.
Grandchildren right there. You got the hookup. I didn't know you were just like hooked up like that, man. I mean, I know that you had the Disney connections. I didn't know you had those kind of Disney connections. That Star Wars thing is opening up in Disney World.
It's open. Yeah. No,
not that one. I'm talking about the super deluxe experience hotel thing. Yeah. The
Halcyon.
Yeah. We need to talk about that.
The 2-day scripted Star Wars adventure.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That I don't even care how much it is. That's how willing I am to go.
You may not care, but your wife will.
No, it's the kids' bank. It's the kids' college fund. So you know what? It's fine. They'll get scholarships. It'll be fine.
Yeah. Just start telling your kids that the tooth fairy ran out of money and, just squirrel that away too.
Exactly. All right. So I'll go next, man. So, we did an episode, months ago called, Pipes to the Future or Pipes of the Future, even had kind of some retro or, some custom art for that with kind of a Back to the Future-esque, font that went with it. I was quite proud of how that turned out, but yeah, a lot of what you're touching on is exactly, kind of in line with what our predictions are for the future in terms of what the consumer looks like and kind of the way that the pipe impacts the culture and the culture impacts the pipe, playing even more significantly into the future as well. For me, this almost kind of comes across as like a New Year's resolution because in the last couple of weeks, there's a spot in the new house that is like, it's a seller. Like it's a legit seller, with no disrespect to anybody's cellar situation, but I'm not talking about like a plastic box somewhere that we call a cellar, which is what, my cellar has been historically, but like, this is actually like a tucked away shelf underneath the stairs that looks like it's made to be like a cellar. And so I have been going through, and especially after the last couple of episodes and the wisdom, and man, we're going to have so many different follow-up pipe questions coming down the line about especially the aging episode that we just put out. A lot of people have follow-up questions from that, John David. So look forward to that in the coming year.
Yeah, it's great. It's exciting.
But I got questions about that one.
But so here's the thing. I am now like looking to like get legit here and like make a nice looking cellar where I can store this. I can treat my pipe tobacco right. I've combed through. I've actually taken the time to figure out what has, if either is hamster or has essentially become hamster and it's not even worth trying to revive, and what needs to be, you know, tinned up and put up and aged appropriately. And so, yeah, I'm seeing from a personal standpoint, what my pipe smoking future looks like is to have a legit, cellar with a means of displaying the pipes in such a way that I can kind of showcase them to people that, that come by and that sort of thing, especially because they've, you know, I've been, I mean, you guys know how it is. I mean, we've been so blessed by our amazing audience out there. And so we've been given like these gifts and these amazing pipes. And, you know, I like to, I of course enjoy smoking them, but I also like to kind of show them to people and tell them the story of, you know, how this was gotten, who gave it to me, why they gave it to me, kind of what we were doing at the time, or, you know, especially those that have been actually carved and the carver gave them to me. Just incredible works of art that, you know, I really want to not just kind of keep away in a shoebox, but actually have on display where people can actually.
Yeah, sure.
So that's, I want to be a little bit more of a, you know, I've made a name for myself in the world of pipe tobacco by being that eternal pipe tobacco novice. I want to be a little bit more of an aficionado, or at least put forth the air of an aficionado. If that. What about you, John David?
Well, you know, obviously we've all had a lot of life changes, right? In the past couple of years. I mean, you know, just with, a lot of, you know, family stuff going on and moving and, businesses and careers and everything else. But, yeah, you know, for me, obviously the big recent thing is, man, being a dad and, you know, learning how to do that, learning how to, be a father and also, you know, still, have some semblance of a good husband, you know, and, you know, and then along the side of that, of course, running a, you know, business and, you know, being a successful tobacconist and, you know, continuing to hone my skill and, learn and learn from others in the market and in the industry. And, yeah, I think Brian nailed it with the state of the industry and the future of it. I mean, we still today have people that, you know, come in and they get their, you know, pound of BCA and walk out the door and then we see them in 3 weeks. And, you know, but I think that'll be less and less. I think you're right, Brian, that, as far as the industry goes, the future, is probably more like the guy that goes through, you know, his tin of, you know, Peterson nightcap now, you know, in maybe a month and a half, time. And yeah. You know, once a week, a few times a week, a ritual for him, when he can sneak away and just have a few private moments to himself, or herself, you know, I think that is that's the future of the pipe smoker, which is not necessarily a bad thing. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you mentioned Brian, it'll be probably more educated smoker, a smoker that, you know, consumes, with, you know, more discrimination, which, you know, I think is, you know, these are sophisticated people that will know what they're, consuming and be happy to do so. It kind of, you know, moves from, you know, Jack Daniels to your, you know, higher end whiskey that has more, you know, flavor and nuance. And,
yep.
You know, you're, consuming something because you want a, you know, a really premium experience. And I think the pipe smoker of the future will, you know, we'll display that. So, you know, as for me, personally, you know, I have found, just even in recent weeks, and I think this will probably be indicative of years to come, at least certainly the next, next couple of years as babies are tiny. But, or at least baby is tiny because there are no babies, currently brewing that we know of. Just want to be clear about that. But, you know, I think, you know, those times where you can sneak away, I have not had in the past couple of years, you know, those seasons where, or those moments during the week where I really can, you know, go, you know, get tucked away and smoke my pipe for an hour and a half here and there. Those have just been fleeting moments for me. And I have really fought over the past few weeks for those moments, for those times where I can, okay, build this into my schedule, go aside and really smoke my pipe, very intentionally, in that, you know, as we kind of mentioned earlier with, Robbie, in the sense of being present, you know, focusing on that and really taking advantage of it, being blessed by that. I think, you know, that is going to be a big part of my story again coming into the future here. You know, so much of the past several years is, you know, we kind of have, you know, poured a lot of effort into the shop here and, you know, growing our business, starting our family and all that. It's, you know, those moments have been fleeting, but I don't know, of late, those bigger pipe bowls sitting quietly, you know, by myself with a book or, you know, maybe with my, you know, prayer book or something and, you know, drinking a good cup of coffee and just really digging into, some personal time. I think that's going to be more of my own story. So I don't know, as I was kind of looking at my pipe collection, I was like, you know, I could see these bowls, maybe in the next few years as I acquire more pipes, getting bigger and bigger. And, I think it'll be fun to see. But I do know that my pipe will continue to, minister to me as it has for so long in the middle of just a really insane, you know, day. You always, can turn to your friend and know that it's there to, you know, help take care of you and take the edge off.
And just wait, one day soon you'll be sitting out on the front porch and little Lumpa and little Hunka will be out there playing with the dog and you'll just be sitting there with your pipe and
Brian, he's still just barely out of the wheelhouse. Let's not talk about the second child. You know what I mean?
Poor Hunka.
Keep your feet in the present, but your mind in the future.
I mean, I'm giving you the old Jonah Hill, you know, shaking the head, cutting it off. They're like, nah, bro. Not me. No, all right. So the smoke is cleared. The sun has come up. It is Christmas Day. We have all now having remembered the pipes of the past, enjoying the pipes of the present, and looking to the pipes of the future, can go and wish happy holidays, happy Hanukkah, Merry Christmas to all our friends and family with an extra jump, skip in our step, and an extra bit of pipe tobacco in our bowl. And so Merry Christmas to all, and to all a good night, and may God bless us one and all. So there you go, a Christmas carol themed little Country Squire radio for you. How about that?
All beautifully written by Bo York.
Oh, well, no. It's a collaborative effort. But you know what? It wouldn't be a full, you know, Christmas special, a full episode of Country Squire Radio without some quick fire questions. Brian, can you stick around a little bit longer for some quick fire questions?
Yeah, I got all day to go and nowhere to get there.
All right, brother.
Quick fire with the Squire.
All right, quick fire questions.
Ow!
All right, guys. So we got some quick fire questions. Holiday edition coming in from Kevin Tripp. All right, here we go, gentlemen. All right, now Kevin went all out. We've got kind of like a Santa's list. So I'm gonna have to cherry pick a little bit here on this list to make sure that we don't retract some ground we've already gone, but also make sure we're tossing up some good ones to Brian. I'm gonna go ahead and start this one. This one is a good question, good quick fire question for many, many men out there. It's a challenge for a lot of women as well, but especially for us men. Wrapping the gift. Do you wrap or do you bag? Brian Levine.
Bag, please. I hate wrapping.
John David.
I actually am a wrapper. Okay. My grandmother got me to help her with this at a very young age. And I think she even, if I'm remembering right, maybe she gave me like a dollar per gift or something that I would help her wrap, you know, and I got pretty good at it. And even the other day, someone was commenting here in the shop as I was wrapping a present for someone else. They were like, man, you're actually pretty good at that. Like, that's kind of surprising. And I enjoy it. I think it's fun. It's kind of like my little origami project. So, I'm going to go with gift wrapping.
That does not surprise me at all. All right. So the internet is a terrible place. We're all aware of this. However, on occasion, social media does give you something that's beneficial. And, you know, you see these things where they show you a video, how you've been doing things wrong your entire life, like eating pineapple, or you didn't know how to cap the old juice box or whatever it may be. A video came through that just showed a square box being wrapped where all they had to do was turn it diagonally. And then it wrapped perfectly with only three pieces of tape. And that has changed my life. Like, I up until this year, I've been a bagger, but because of that video, I have switched to rapping. Now, my first one was not great. It was not my first rap out, my best rap album. But the next rapping jobs I've done have been quite good. So I think I've converted, man. I think I'm a rapper.
That's impressive.
All right, next one. Holiday specials: Christmas Story or Christmas Vacation? Brian Levine.
Oh. You know, pure cousin Eddie wins. Sorry.
All right. Fair enough. John David,
Christmas Story.
Okay, that makes both of your choices makes a lot of sense to me. that is appropriate. I hate both these movies. You can go ahead and email me or at me directly if you want to, but I am like the only person on the planet that just does not like these movies. And I'll tell you what it is. I'm just not a big fan of slapstick humor, and that is such a big component to both these films. Like awkward and slapstick. Can't do it.
Yeah.
Muppet Christmas Carol. That is my holiday movie. All right, here we go. Ooh. Okay, this is good because, John David, this doesn't necessarily apply to you now, but it will in the near future. Shaking presents before being able to open them, is that allowed in your house or is it prohibited?
Definitely allowed. Maybe it'll change down the road, but you got to shake the present, right? I mean, you got to, you know, if you can kind of, you know, figure out what's inside there. I mean, I don't know. I think that's part of the fun, right? It's, you're putting together some educated guesses.
Okay. Brian?
No, because if I wrapped it, the wrapping's going to fall off. but the one tradition that I do have is that I will take in the vein of Johnny Carson and his old Karnak routine, I will take the present, hold it up to my head and decipher that it is something that is obviously not going to fit in that size box.
always a good decision. Yeah, I think I'm gonna lean more on the side of not allowed. We haven't like had like a official rule, but there have been several times I've seen the kids make for the presents, and I guess I've just like instinctively shut it down as it was going on. So though the rule has not been, you know, stated, it's certainly been applied. So, and that's, I mean, like, you know, look, it's a rookie mistake. When you're a kid, of course, yeah, you got to shake those presents. But when you're a parent, you're like, no, I bought that. Don't break it. You haven't even seen it yet.
Yes. I mean, you didn't buy it. Santa delivered it.
Well, no. So the way we do it, and I mean, I know Santa has different rules for different houses, but the way that Santa has always kind of worked within our house is that Santa delivers unwrapped presents. And you know, the wrapped presents are all like family gifts and that sort of thing. But when Santa comes down the chimney, I think it's kind of been like special requested. Hey, we don't need ours wrapped. I know some families he likes to wrap the presents for, some not. So whatever you, dear listener, or your children who are listening right now are, you know, different houses have different rules, but that's always the way it's been in our house.
Yeah. See, at ours, the, you know, Santa would bring gifts to each person, but they were never the high dollar ones because mom and dad didn't want to look like cheapskates.
Right. You gotta balance that out. All right. And then finally, you know, Brian, I think you mentioned this last year, but y'all had a tree growing up, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yep. So here's the question. Top of the tree, star, angel, or otherwise?
Otherwise.
What'd you have, Brian?
Well, growing up, oh boy, I don't, you know, maybe one of those pointy, you know, it was the 70s. It was probably some obnoxious colored, shiny plastic thing that was pointy and you shove the top thing onto it.
Right.
Now we don't do anything. I hate to sound like an elitist, but we have more than one tree now because
as
I have a
Price magazine money gets you multiple trees. I get it.
Well, no, where I have a bunker full of tobacco, my wife has a bunker full of Christmas ornaments and has an addictive problem that I support wholly because, you know, I can't argue it with her. But on one of the trees, we have these elves' feet that are on sticks, and you just shove them in there, and we've got them kind of making a crown on the top of the tree.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah. I dig it. What about you, John David?
It's always been a star for us. I don't know. I know people do angels and otherwise, and, you know, 1970s Archie Bunker, you know, junk on the top of their tree, but yeah, man, we've just always had a star. I don't know. Kind of simple.
Interesting. Okay. So growing up, we had an angel, and then for our first several years, as a married couple, we had a kind of angel. It was like a cloth angel. It never looked right. I think it was like the first angel my parents had that was passed down from a grandparent. And so it was kind of like a, you know, like a guilt angel type deal. You know, you have to put it on the tree because you're
an guilt angel.
Yeah, exactly.
That's hilarious. I got to remember that.
The angel of guilt was always like nodding down at us. And finally, I just didn't have anything for a couple of years just because I really got sick of looking at that thing. And then also didn't want to replace it because the guilt was there. Even though the angel wasn't there, the guilt was still there. And then last year at the end of Christmas, we got, when all the stuff goes on sale the next day, I saw a really nice light up star. And I thought, you know what? I've never had a star. I always liked the concept of a star. We're getting the star. And so we get the star and we pack it up. I totally forgot about it until this year as we're unpacking, unwrapping the ornaments. And there it is. And I'm like, oh, we've been saved. And the star was up in the sky. And for the first year, I'm guilt-free. yes. Has replaced him.
So, see, yeah. And a five-pointed star sits on a tree so much better than a six-pointed star.
Well, that is true.
You really lose one of those points when you got to shove something into it, you know.
Well, this is true. This is absolutely true.
Well, I'd just like to say for everybody's knowledge that you are my guilt angel.
Oh, that's awesome, man. Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Well, guys, once again, wonderful holiday edition of Country Squire Radio. We can't thank you enough, Brian Levine, for coming on and being the I feel like this is starting a tradition. I mean, am I wrong? This feels like a tradition. Is this a tradition?
It sounds like one to me. It feels right. I mean, you can't have all the happy, Christmas movies without the Grinch movie, right?
Well, no, so, the Scrooge in this situation, right? Because he's
right, exactly.
See here, kid, get off my lawn.
So that's the thing. We went Charles Dickens. We had Scrooge. John David, you're clearly Tiny Tim. And I'm Beau Cratchit, so it works out.
Beau Cratchit, yeah.
Absolutely. Right,
it's quite possible that I'm Emperor Palpatine.
You're going to do it? You're going to do it, aren't you?
No, I don't want to. Okay. Well, I could.
The Let's... Force is a path to some pipes some would see as unnatural. Brian Levine, where can folks keep up with you? I'm sure they're all aware, but for the few that don't, where can folks keep up with you and all the amazing things that you're doing?
The Pipes Magazine radio show on iTunes. I still call it iTunes. That's how old I am. Spotify, all that stuff. Facebook, it's under my name. I'm enjoying Instagram, not quite as angry as the people on Twitter. still kind of scarred from that. But yeah, just, find me there, hang out. I don't care, do whatever. Listen to the show. I just got to say that it is all, I think this needs to be a tradition because it's just great hanging out with you guys and it's great to call you friends and it's great to be part of a beautiful little community of, with you guys.
Oh, likewise, man.
And yeah, we agree, brother. We agree.
Hey, if you ever, if you happen to make your way down to the to Jackson in March, let us know. That'd be great because, of course, we do have the Lunt to Remember, as mentioned at the top of the show. Don't forget to make your plans. Join us. Not only will you be able to enjoy your pipes, go for a nice walk and meet some great folks from that amazing community, but we will be doing a live episode of Country Squire Radio right then and there. So it's going to be a blast. It might be a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. Who knows? The only way to find out is by being there. So make your plans. I'll probably be camping. I got to get that lined up because I would love to camp out in that area. And then also beyond that, we hope y'all are having a happy holidays and Merry Christmas. You can keep up with us throughout the week. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at @TheRealBoYork.
I'm at @JohnDavidCole, or you can get us at the shop at @_CountrySquire.
The show's handle is @SquireRadio, but all that information and more can be found at CountrySquireRadio.com. That is going to do it for us for this week. So yeah, guys, let's go have a holiday.
Shalom. Merry Christmas, y'all.